Jeff. It's the time to do the podcast thing.
Hey, Griffin. How's it going?
It's great. Greatness is all around me.
Greatness has arrived.
Greatness is... I'm in the time of greatness.
Greatness requires that you please understand for PSN problems.
Please be patient.
Greatness requires that your kill zone just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's how great it is. It's saving me from that game.
Does it still not work?
Nope.
Wow.
It's looking out for me.
It's incredible.
It's actually working less now.
Did it work at all?
Yeah. Well, on a scale from 0 to 10, like at 0.01, it worked.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, let's back up and we'll talk a little bit more about these issues.
Yeah, I guess we could back up a little bit, yeah.
Hey, Jeff, it's Boss Bro Radio, episode something. And
hey,
it's been a Griffin. While. We're going to talk about video games.
That's a good idea.
Like we always do.
Yeah. So, there was a console launch.
There was.
2 days ago. And that's a pretty cool thing.
Sure was, man. It was nuts.
Don't see those so much anymore. And back in my day, we'd launch a new console every 5 years. Yeah. And we liked it.
Well, now it's like, now these kids, they're just getting console launches all the time. Every October, every, you know, March, there's new iPads and iPods and new Androids, all this tablets.
Yeah, that doesn't count, though.
Table games, tabletop
games. I feel like the next iPhone is not like a console. It's just... I don't know what you call it. I mean, every iPhone game is made to target the lowest common denominator.
Right,
unless you want to play Infinity Blade 3.
Right. Whatever the hardware, the presentation, like the pomp and circumstance of that, and like that saliva-inducing, you know, sizzle reel that they cut, and that presentation on the stage that they do, it's big and it's cool.
Yeah, that's true. But it's definitely distinct from a console launch.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many more of these we're going to see.
Yeah,
because I don't know if that's what markets are going to look like. If having waiting 8 years before getting new technology is going to be okay in like 2020 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's still going to be market, but it's been pretty cool.
The best part about the console launches is their infrequency, because then it makes them so much more awkward. You know, nobody really knows what to do since they're not doing it twice a year. So it's just
It's been insanely awkward. Yeah, it's been. I was actually listening in on a conversation between Jamie and his girlfriend, and she had so many questions that were just exposing how utterly awkward the process of like rolling out a new console. She was like, "Where are the games? Like,
we don't need the games. What games? What are you talking about?
Why aren't there more games on this console?" And then she was like, "How come you can't change the background anymore?" And he was like, "Well, it's the new console."
One background to rule them all.
But it's funny because it's like it is such a strange process, and it's like they really have to force it. It doesn't just happen. There's so much inertia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're stuck on the old gen. They've been doing it for 7 years, and then they have to convince every consumer to move into a new $400 unit. It's mm-hmm. not easy.
Right. It's especially tricky, too, because right at launch, you know, you have a hard time showcasing why it's so much better. And especially when, you know, your bullet point features aren't that much different. And the graphic, you know, comparison isn't that much better than something you'd see on a PC or even the current generation.
So yeah. I think that graphics are like appreciably better. But there's really, I mean, for the average consumer, I mean, it's a point of diminishing returns. I mean,
right.
They're not going to really give a shit, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it still looks like reality. It still looks like I'm watching a football game in real life.
Yeah, so it is a tough time. It's a weird time. And it's definitely been awkward. But hey, you know what? The PS4 is out and it sold 1 million units on the first day.
1 million. Unit.
insert pinky at the edge of your mouth. It's impressive. I'm really happy. I think that in spite of some of that awkwardness, and in spite of I guess some perceived sort of media tepidness maybe about the whole affair,
mm-hmm.
it seems to be doing pretty well. So maybe console gaming isn't on like a serious decline.
No, definitely not.
But Yeah, it's been pretty crazy, and you know, we might as well mention we both got our PS4s on Friday, and
have been launch have day. Been
enjoying them and testing them out and having a great time with them.
Yeah. So did you? Okay, so you got yours through Amazon. You pre-ordered it that way.
I did, yes.
And I did the same, but I did end up going out on Thursday night at midnight for a launch.
How was that experience?
It let me paint you a picture. I woke up at 11:45 and was
PM?
Like, yeah, PM, because I was like, oh shit, I gotta get over there. So then I drove over there in like sleepy clothes and then did like two laps around the parking lot and then just parked right up next to where everybody was standing in line and just sat there with
Can I ask quickly what your sleepy clothes are?
It was just like sweats and something.
I'm imagining a onesie.
A halter top and
a Super Mario onesie.
Karibo's shoe. I was in Karibo's shoe.
So you drove over there and you said there was a line already?
Yeah, there were two lines. One was for pre-orders, one was for not pre-orders. And the pre-order line was almost empty by the time I got there because I got there at like 12:02.
Okay.
But still, I'd say there was probably, you know, 30 people in line.
Mm-hmm.
And people on one side were holding these papers, which were like the, you know, first come, first serve papers. Like you get this, you got to bring it in and you get your console. So after all the pre-orders got through, then the other lines started coming through and that went pretty quickly. And I was sitting there thinking, maybe I should get out of my car and not look like a creeper and maybe go talk to somebody or go see if I can buy one. And then I decided not to do that. So
so you just sat awkwardly in your car, just people watching?
Exactly. And then somebody who was much more courageous than me got out of their car because they were doing the same thing, walked up and then talked to the employee and was turned away. So I was like,
oh, that sucks.
I guess I don't need to be here. However, after that happened, then this other dude gets out of his car and just power walk, beeline, madman up to the front. Like these people are like, hey, how, like, you know, waving him down. And somebody just like throws a piece of paper at him. He gets it, walks in, and then walks out with a console. Like, I'm guessing he knew somebody, I'm assuming.
I guess so. That's really something. I was going to say, while you were doing that, I was watching the PlayStation 4 All Access live on Spike TV event.
No. Brought to you by Jeff Keighley.
God. Can he find a way to just not look like a massive douche no matter what he does?
It's unfortunate because anything anything that he writes or any of his interviews or stuff, it's like he is really good. And I love it when he interviews Nintendo people because he knows he can kind of be a dick to them.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that about Jeff Keighley. But
Jeff Keighley is the rare guy who's like, he's like this host and this entertainer, but he's such an important figure in like the public air, like realm of like video game coverage that he can ask the dick questions and get away with it.
Yeah.
So like he'll ask, like if he wants to, he can ask like a really taboo question, and Nintendo, you know, they're all about taboos. So he'll ask them the hard shit and then they'll like stumble and fumble, and afterwards, you know, he's Jeff Keighley, so who cares?
Right. But then he's still Jeff Keighley on camera and he has that dead eye look, and it's just like, that dude, you know, as douchey as he may appear, that dude must have like the most taxing job where you're like, yeah, he is everywhere all the time. He's has these public relations that he needs to maintain and this image he has to uphold, and he can't toe that line too far with certain people. Otherwise, he'll probably get in trouble with his, you know, overlords or whatever. But he can still kind of, you know, nudge at it when he has the chance.
Yeah, and I think you kind of have to, if you want to work in television like that and like do what he does, you have to be kind of glassy-eyed and just like have your facial expressions not convey any emotion.
Either that or it's, you know, after God knows what, like 15 years of doing that, I'm sure it's taken a toll on him.
After 15 years of co-hosts whose intellectual capacities tend to be below his.
Or, you know, when he's like, fuck, what is Kojima going to dress up as this time? Just having to deal with that sort of like nonsense spectacle. You're like, why can't he just be Fallon?
He knows more than anyone else like how ridiculous Kojima's promises are. No, I don't know.
Speaking of Kojima's premises, were you surprised by what you saw as promised by Kojima on that Friday or Thursday night event?
I was surprised by it. I'm not sure if I was pleasantly surprised. It was bizarre. So I'll tell you. I'll go ahead and tell you the reveal. The reveal was it was that in the Ground Zeroes demo, there was going to be exclusive PlayStation content, which, you know, we always love our exclusive content. But the content is, you can play as Metal Gear Solid 1, like, polygonal, blocky-ass snake and crawl around in next-gen environments in your stupid polygonal blocky face with no moving mouth. I have no idea why you did it.
Well, do you like it, Jeff?
I guess I like it. It's really hilarious, though. And the funniest thing, he was like, you know, Metal Gear Solid started 15 years ago. When you play this game, you might wonder what's changed. And we're like, wait, do you really want to say that? But yeah, so there was this fluffy little event. Shuhei Yoshida did an Antonio Banderas GIF impression, which was great. But they really, I mean, it was basically just a massive PR thing. They announced two things there. There's going to be another Uncharted game, surprising absolutely no one. They showed a trailer with no game footage at all. Yep. Just a dude doing VO and a map. So that was cool. And they also snuck in a Towerfall announcement. Towerfall was that big game on the Ouya. Yep. And now it's not exclusive anymore. So the Ouya
big game on the Ouya.
Yeah, it was that game. The Ouya's game. Yep. And that's not exclusive anymore. So the Ouya, it just continues to be horribly dead.
No way.
It had a chance before Friday night, but now it's dead.
Whatever, those guys are just rolling in their money and they're like, suckers, can't believe you fell for this horse shit.
They spent like a million of the
We told
million
you consoles were dead when we sold your console.
It'd be really funny if they were just hoarding $7 million in cash right now after having already covered all their R&D.
Hey, Stradivarius controllers don't make themselves.
Friggin' Eve Behar, whatever his name is just diving into a pile of cash.
Hope it's all coins and he breaks his face.
Yeah, so they had an event in the lead up, and then they launched, and it was awesome and exciting, and we both got our consoles the next day. When did you get your console? Tell me the whole the experience.
Oh man, well, I woke up, no, nothing really exciting happened. I was tracking it on my phone with the Amazon app, and then I noticed like it didn't say delivered, so I left a note on my door in the morning just in case to say like, hey, leave it here, here's my signature. Because finding a UPS store that's open after 5:30 in Des Moines is impossible. we get home. There's nothing at the doorstep. I'm like, oh, fuck. So we pull up, and then immediately this UPS truck pulls up right behind us, and the person jumps out with this gigantic Santa Claus-size box. And I was just like, I was so excited I had to go inside. Like, I didn't want to pretend like I was getting the package. I didn't want to be there for it.
I can imagine you just like have filled with childlike wonderment and like a mixture of joy and fear.
Oh no, it was more like I want to be the cool guy. Like I don't want to get this thing and be like Nintendo 64. I want to not be around it and be like, oh, what just showed up, huh? Oh, I was expecting that.
Also, I think the note on your door probably gave you away.
Probably. I wrote a bunch of hearts and X's and O's on it and left milk and cookies outside.
That's really funny. I will say,
did you have any similar antics?
My experience was far less dramatic. I'd say the process began because I only have three HDMI inputs on my TV and they're all full. So I was moving my PlayStation 3 upstairs to hook up to my computer monitor. And then, like, it arrived. Mm. And, like, I think they didn't ring the doorbell. They just left it there. And I, like, went to check Amazon idly. And then it was there. And I was like, oh, my. It's here. So I ran down and grabbed it. And the setup was very easy. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. But it took me, like, 5 minutes. It was, like, the quickest console hookup I've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
all your shit's already in there. It's just like, hey, you had these old cables before. Just plop the old one out and stick the new one in there and put the old stuff in.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, just getting started was a very friendly experience, I felt like, save for the fact that the PSN was like hot trash. But yeah. The system update just started downloading automatically.
Oh, just, nice.
Yeah, and I had actually like prepped a USB stick because I was like, oh, the PSN's going to crash.
Only one?
I know, rookie mistake.
What if that data corrupted itself in that time frame?
I don't know what I would do. I'd be forced to end it all. But yeah, the whole process was very simple. I got the update in like 3 minutes and was ready to go. And then there was just there were so many PSN errors, and like every once in a while I'd just be browsing the main menu and it would be like, the service is undergoing maintenance.
So what time was it that you got yours?
I got mine around noon.
Okay, that's interesting, because by the time I got it, it seemed like the network had calmed down a little bit. Like, I wasn't getting errors all over the place, but it just was, like, committed to being broken.
So, like, it had finally decided that it was fully broken.
Yeah, yep. Like, and then around, I think, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock, oddly enough, it ended up, you know, going back up, and I was able to get the updates and log in and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, it, the whole process, I felt like it was, even though like the PSN was being shitty, it was still faster than using a PS3.
Oh my god, yeah.
Even with the broken PSN, it was like night and day. And I think looking at what they did right with like the launch of this console, it's kind of a sign of what is going to be different this generation, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just like I feel like a focus on like the speed of the UI, the speed of the store, it's such a dramatic improvement. I mean, forget about the graphics, which aren't that noteworthy, but like, you don't have to wait over a minute to open the PlayStation Store anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like, absolutely, like,
yeah,
it's a revelation.
Very, very much in the vein of like the Apple UI, where it's super snappy. If you press a button, it just immediately dumps you out of it back to the desktop, and then you can jump right back in, you know, on a whim. It's just having that function, or that immediacy of the user interface is really, really nice compared to what it was in the past.
It really is, and I know that Sony was like the worst of the, well, between Microsoft and Sony, they were kind of the most behind on that front. So it's really nice to see that they invested enough energy into like tightening up that area,
right,
and like really, you know, they really focused on making the UI like scream and go really fast. And I'm really happy about that, because it makes the whole experience feel next gen, even when like I don't have games and the graphics are better, but not, you know, not out of this world. So that's a really nice thing.
So you went and played some games, and you had wisely purchased a lot of things in the BOGO deals.
Yeah, it was a buy two, get one. Okay, let me go through the whole process. Okay. So first, I think, Jamie, you and I were talking about Assassin's Creed, and how if like one of us got it, then the rest of us would get it. I think you kind of half-heartedly were like, maybe. And Jamie and I were like, we're doing it. So I pre-ordered Assassin's Creed on Monday. Mm-hmm. Or no, on Sunday, I think, at GameStop. And then a few hours after pre-ordering it, I learned that there was a promotion going on to Target for buy two, get one. Uh-huh. And I was only going to buy Assassin's Creed at first. I was like, that's the only game I'm buying at launch. Right. But then I was like, oh my God, deals.
I'm losing money if I don't buy this right now.
I must get the deals. So I had to go over to GameStop. I did the walk of shame to GameStop, where I had to go in and cancel my game. And whenever you cancel a pre-order at GameStop, they look at you like you've just like murdered their child.
Oh, pre-order games at GameStop, do you pay the full price for them?
No, I just put in the $5.
Oh, okay.
But this one I pre-ordered online, so I actually hadn't put anything in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I still went over there, and they were like, they're really disappointed in me. They looked at me like I'd single-handedly just like let down gaming.
Stole money, or you stole food out of their child's mouth.
I took the power from the players.
Oh.
But yeah, so I did that, and then after class on Tuesday, I was able to run over and grab Assassin's Creed, Killzone Shadowfall, and Knack for buy two, get one free.
Which one was the free one? Which one in your mind you're like, you're the free one, you fucker?
It's undecided, and I was actually explaining this to Jessica. One of them is either Killzone or Knack is going to be the free one, and I've not played Knack yet. So far, Killzone is definitely the free one. Knack may become the free one. And that kind of I guess is a nice lead into a discussion of the launch titles.
Yeah.
Just kind of in general. Yeah. Not the best launch titles ever.
No. Well, no, I disagree. I think there's some pretty standard good ass launch titles comparatively to previous game launches or system launches, right?
That's true. I would say they're not the best games ever, but they're good launch titles.
Yeah.
Would be a fair way of describing them, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely, I mean, not like more compelling than anything I've played on current gen hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they look pretty. Killzone succeeded in one area and one area alone, which is looking pretty.
Yeah. Tell me about Killzone.
Sure.
I really wish I could play it.
Yeah. Are you going to send your disc away or what?
I don't know what I'm going to do. So when I put in Killzone with my system, it uh-huh. spins the disc pretty hard. It spins the disc to a whine, and then it stops okay. and repeats a couple times. Uh-huh. It installs, and then it says, hey, you're ready to go. I play it, and then it says, you know, downloads a patch. And then it just sits on a black screen with the Guerrilla Games logo, and that's it. And then it crashes to the desktop, and it says, you got to send this error report, Sony. Thanks.
Whoa, have you Googled that or anything? Or?
Yeah, I did Google it. It's a pretty widespread problem. It's actually affecting Battlefield and Call of Duty Ghosts more than Killzone.
It sounds like it's like the first person shooter problem.
Yeah, and I think from what I understand about reading the problem is it's games that require or games that immediately log you into an online server when you start it.
Oh.
So that creates a little bit of a problem. And what the solution people said was, like, if you really want to play it, go into a guest account that doesn't have PSN and isn't connected to the internet and try and boot it from there. So I did that. And this is why I'm saying it worked 0.01%, where it booted, it started the opening logo for the game, and then it got to the loading screen, and then it started trying to log me into a server, and then it crashed and said, your data is corrupted. Your hard drive is corrupted. Kill yourself.
That's kind of terrifying, especially in light of some of the reports of like faulty units and stuff.
Yeah. Well,
I was actually reading it.
Sorry, deleted it. I tried it again, did the same thing. And then I went back onto my regular account and it still is just dying at the logo.
Do you have any? Oh no, you have Assassin's Creed. I was going to ask if you had any other disc based media and if it was working, but yeah. It sounds like it is. So that's good, I guess.
Yeah, and it can't be the disc either because you know when I put it in the other account, it was able to read it. I just don't know what the hell.
Yeah, well, definitely keep an eye on that. Hopefully, you don't have to deal with sending it off to Sony. I was actually reading an article where some alleged Foxconn employee claimed that they like deliberately sabotage PS4s. There is some crazy ass conspiracy theory shit going on the internet right now.
Speaking of conspiracy theory shit, my wife was at work on the weekend or yesterday, and a coworker went up to her and it was like, "You tell your husband that my fucking PlayStation 4 crashed. And Sony's going to take care of me because I believe in them."
what do they want you to take away from that?
I don't know.
Sony's taking care of him?
I don't know what any of that means, but she's like, this is what he told me. He said it to me like 3 times at work. I don't know.
Did he like hold a knife to her throat as he said this?
No.
It sounds very threatening.
I think he was just, he's the kind of guy that was running on like zero sleep and a lot of drugs.
Nice. Yeah. I've gotten a few hilarious messages from people who friended me like over streams and stuff. One guy I was talking to him, I was like, oh yeah, he asked me a question about PS Plus and it being kind of cumbersome, and I was like, yeah, it can be cumbersome sometimes, but it's a great service. And he was like, over Xbox Live? I highly doubt it. So I just never am going to talk to him again.
Sorry, guy.
Yeah. I don't want to have a console war with you right now. on the PlayStation 4. Yeah. But anyway.
So you're here.
Anyway, though.
One of the things that I liked is after I was able to get it going, just to back up to like the entry-level UI stuff again, but it immediately asks you, hey, do you want to share your information with everyone, friends of friends, or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll just have it be wide open, whatever. And then it was like, do you want to have your Facebook linked up with this? Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah. So I did that too. And it was like, I was like, show my real name, put my real picture up there. Just, and then I did, you know, for the safety of everybody, friends and family, I was like, don't publish anything I ever do. Ever.
Also for the sanity of friends and family.
Oh, that's the worst when it's, you know, getting fucking friend or what's it called? Facebook bejeweled requests or mafia wars. There's a fucking brown cow that wandered into my Facebook wall.
Yeah, when I saw that option, I was like, that is a dark path. I went to import my Facebook picture, and then I was like, this is the worst picture. I immediately lost confidence and got rid of it.
Oh, man, I'm really happy that is out there now. I have no problem with my PlayStation name or any of that stuff. Like, I'm happy with that. I'm not one of those people that was like, I chose, you know, fuck Biscuit 420. you know, I'm okay with my name, but I would much rather have it be as realistic and forward facing as possible. So that's great.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. The dude who wanted to talk to me about Xbox Live over the PlayStation Network was named Slow Cook Her. So I think in retrospect was probably ill advised.
Okay. Well, as a foreshadowing to something we'll talk about in the future. I was playing another game on PlayStation 4, and I was completely baffled whether I was playing with real people or not, because their character names sounded almost too good to be real.
I can't wait until we get there. I can go back to Killzone real quick if you want.
Yep.
We can keep talking about more UI stuff because I got more to say.
Yes.
So Killzone. Killzone is a game where you shoot guns.
I like those games.
No more than that. It is not the best kind of that. it is a very, very pretty game, and it actually has a lot of interesting conceptual ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't really know anything about the Killzone lore or anything, but basically the game like opens up with the two warring factions like being forced to live on like two halves of the same planet. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sets up like an Israel-Palestine type thing, like, you know, like these people live here, but they only got to live here because they were like horribly decimated in war, but this is our home, because like the losers have to live with the victors. And so this is this whole interesting, you know, murky thing going on where, you know, maybe the villains of the series aren't actually so bad after all. And then it just dumps you into the first mission, and all of the villain people are just being incredibly villainous.
Great.
So all complexity just goes straight out the window.
Do they still have the racial slur for the Hellgast? Do they still call them Higgs?
I haven't heard Higgs yet. Okay. I'm only on the second mission, so I don't know. But and again, there's so many interesting ideas that ultimately are just don't really play out very well. So for example, the game opens and you are like a kid, you know, and you don't usually see kids in first person shooting games because, you know, you can't shoot kids. Mm-hmm. And you're, you know, you're a kid, you're like going with your dad, and clearly your dad is like going to die. But when
he was wearing this big red target and was constantly crossing himself.
I mean, when you're a hero in a first person shooter, your dad has to die. If your dad is in the game, your dad is going to die.
Yeah.
That's just a rule. Yep. But when that inevitably happens, there's like no emotional gravity at all. The kid is literally like, no, dad. And then this other guy's like, we got to go. And he's like, okay. And it's really weird too, because like, again, I think I mentioned earlier, the graphics are like absolutely incredible. Like, I mean, again, you may not have the same perception of it. I don't know, maybe you'll think it looks closer to current gen, but when I saw it, like, my reaction was like, wow, this is definitely a next gen title. Mm-hmm. There's no way the PS3 could have done this. Frankly, I have that reaction with every title I see, but especially so with Killzone. It is a very gorgeous title. Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned how beautiful the colors are, how poppy it can be at times. And that's all true. And it is a great looking game, but every other element of the game just feels like a C movie in terms of like budget that was allocated to it, like quality of what they did. Like even weird shit, like the gun sounds sound a little, flat, I guess.
Okay.
Audio is a little weird. The voice acting is terrible.
Oh, good. Well, that's still there.
Yeah, and the story is, I mean, the story is just bananas, all kinds of issues. And I've actually been watching some people stream, and there are a lot of apparently like shoehorned in segments where you're in zero grav,
but it's cool.
Essentially just like tank controls. So you're moving really, really slowly, and you have an invisible gun that you don't have any other time that can shoot really fast and shoot explosive rounds.
This sounds amazing. I want to play that. So you're like a turret on wheels, basically.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. So it's a weird game. And in the beginning, it's definitely trying some interesting things. It's more of like open than previous Killzone games. Like the very first mission, it dumped me into this like kind of sprawling map, and I have to like traverse back and forth across the map, and like there are dudes that are like you know, just hanging out over there, and you don't have to interact with them at all if you don't want to. It's not linear, at least not in the beginning, and there's a lot of interesting things going on, but then like the execution is always really poor. So for example, the game expects you to like kind of stealth around in the beginning. But like there's no cover. Like you can't stealth. Like enemies will detect you even if you're behind something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you stealth on these enemies?
Yeah.
If that element of it isn't even like finely tuned. And there's another example, like the game gives you like an echolocation ability, like you can press a button and like it'll highlight enemy targets. But the problem is, you'll go into an area and like enemies will spawn like a few feet away from you. So literally the game has just given you a tool to point out that the enemies aren't yet loaded into memory.
Wow.
Like a tool that intentionally highlights like a problem with the game. So I'll go over to like this like multi-level structure where I should be able to echolocate these dudes, and I'll jump over something, and then there'll be a dude on the other side, and I'm like, where did you come from?
We gotta use it. You gotta use it more so you know where those invisible guys are.
I guess so. They're literally not even loaded into the game's, you know, they're not even spawned yet, which is hilarious. There's a lot of like dissonance like that, and it's very strange. But it does give you a cool little AI buddy in the OWL or the OWL, which is like your little AI drone. Mm-hmm. And you can it has four functions. It's got attack, stun, shield, and zip line, which is the funniest one.
And thumbs up.
I wish whenever you ziplined on it, you could just go, wee!
I think the fifth function was going to be Mountain Dew, but Xbox already has that.
Yeah, that's exclusive to the next Halo.
Yeah.
Halo has the FPS market on Mountain Dew corner.
Cortana, give me a surge.
So the OWL has some pretty cool functions, and the ziplining is fun, although it creates a lot of situations where like you don't know like where the fuck to go, and it's not really clear where you can zipline to. Like even in the first open map of the game, like I couldn't figure out like how to traverse the map. Uh-huh. Which is a big problem. And like I would jump off of like something to like a structure below me that I should be able to just land on. Mm-hmm. And like it wasn't far fall, and then I would just die. So there's a lot of issues with like boundaries and like having enough signage or having enough like cues in the environment to direct you to where you need to be.
I see. So it's a little too big for its britches. Like it's trying to do the open world thing but failing at it. Maybe it should have stuck with its tried and true linear gameplay.
Yeah, well, I would say Killzone is a game that is trying a lot of things, which is admirable for a launch game, but it's not doing any of them very well.
Okay.
So, yeah. I would say that's pretty much Killzone in a nutshell. I mean, I'm going to keep giving it a shot. I'm going to try out multiplayer at some point, but it is pretty lackluster, yeah. All things considered. Like I said, right?
I would right really now. Like to play it, but... My biggest fear is the forced stealth, and if you're saying there's stealth early on too, that's a bummer, but I know there's like stealth levels later in the end of the game, and that was the weakest part of Killzone 3, so I'm not looking forward to that.
I will say that I don't think you have to like pass the stealth section. I think you can fuck up and be okay.
No, there was a forced stealth section late game.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I will say, though, another issue with trying to stealth is that you just do not know where enemies are. And, like, you get fired on, and it is impossible to figure out who is shooting you. Which is another problem with the attempting of open worldness. Yeah. But, yeah. So that's pretty much Killzone. I mean, it's not the best game. So I'm disappointed. I know that in our previous episode, I predicted that it would be the highest scoring game on Metacritic. But alas, it did not do so well. So.
Okay, did you play, you said you haven't played Knack.
I haven't touched Knack yet. I mean, I just haven't really had a lot of time to play everything. Mm-hmm. Like the first day after I got everything set up, I was really tired because I'd stayed up really late working the night before. Mm-hmm. So I like was like marveling at the OS and just like kind of wandering around, and then I just crashed for like 3 hours.
Didn't you tell me that your Killzone game did have a hard crash back to your desktop? Or the front end?
No, I haven't had any games crash on me yet.
Oh, okay, knock on wood.
Yeah, fingers crossed. No blue lights of death or any other issues. No HDMI output problems. Apparently Kotaku, like they accidentally bent their HDMI input and then they were like, our console's broken. And then Sony was like, fix your HDMI, dummies. Anyway, though, but yeah, so Killzone, that's my take on Killzone so far, and I am sure I'll have more to say as I play it more. Other games I played, and you also played these games, I think.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
What'd you think of Assassin's Creed?
So I had played Assassin's Creed on the Xbox 360 when it had came out a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I wasn't loving it because I was like, oh, it's more of the same Assassin's Creed that, you know, I'm climbing up shit and I'm stabbing guys and the same old mission markers and all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. Feels kind of weird, you know. And I was like, meh, so whatever.
But was this your first time playing multiplayer?
No, I played Brotherhood quite a bit. And you and I, okay. we played fighting guys online in Assassin's Creed. Which I am atrocious at.
yeah. It's fun, though. I think it remains a pretty solid game.
It is a really cool niche multiplayer experience that is fun, as long as I'm playing with somebody else. I can't do it alone.
Oh, no, it's not nearly as good alone. But it is really fun when you're just having a good time, like over party chat. Mm-hmm. And party chat, we haven't even touched on party chat. Party chat is so nice to have.
Yeah.
As someone who never owned an Xbox 360, I am just discovering the wonders of cross-game chat.
Yep, it's really nice.
It is really wonderful. And yeah, Griffin and I, we just kind of dicked around in Assassin's Creed for like 2 hours, and it is a grand time.
It sure is. But I'd like to talk more about the single player, because I, you know, maybe not necessarily by choice, but because my kill zone is broken, I've been playing the shit out of it, and... The reason why is because it's fucking great.
Yeah, I've got to say. So just to, before you go any further, I've been crapping on Assassin's Creed. I put that game in and I was having a great time for like the 20 minutes that I played. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and tell me why it's fantastic.
Well, okay, first of all, if you've played any of the series before, you know that Assassin's Creed 2 is a very good game with a lot of cool concepts not necessarily realized well. Then Brotherhood takes those concepts and builds upon them and polishes them and makes them better across the board. So Brotherhood is definitely the pinnacle of Assassin's Creed games. This is that to Assassin's Creed 3. where three is this, you know, dog poop storyline that's flat as fuck. You have a completely uninteresting and unemotive and a character you can't, you know, have any sort of connection to. And then you have these really cool gameplay choices that are made, but also really weird gameplay choices that are made where you're like, it's colonial America. And we have all this fucking distance that you have to cover. Like, go to Massachusetts and New York City in real time. And it's like, why? That's fucking retarded. So the way that they get around this is, well, okay, so also in Assassin's Creed 3, you had boats. And I talked about this before. You're a boat pilot. And there are certain missions where you're on your boat and you're driving in the seas and you find another boat and you shoot them. And it's like naval combat that's really rad. And, you know, you're flanking each other and crippling each other's sails, and you know, it's one of the things that I love a lot. Like it's that like naval commanding that is super cool. So they do it really intelligently in this game, where now your boat is the boat. You are a fucking stealth boat. There are vision cones on goddamn boats. And you are a fucking stealth boat that drives around and stabs people in their boat's ass with mortar cannon, and then you board them and kill them all, and it's so good.
I could tell just from the beginning, the first boating section, that doing boat shit was going to be awesome.
Yeah, and that's what it was in Assassin's Creed 3, where you're like, you jump into it, and you're there, and it's like, this epic thing is happening, and then it ends. But once I kept playing Assassin's Creed 4, you get out of the towns and you get your own boat in this really harrowing, exciting moment. And then they're like, the world is your motherfucking oyster. Go park your boat at this dumb little island, get a treasure chest, jump back on. And now there's other boats around you and you can shoot them or not. And then you can take your boat and traverse it through some straits and find some other crap, and you find secret shit on your boat. So essentially, instead of it just being like this side diversion, now you like the Assassin's Creed gameplay of stealthing around, exploring the world, capturing certain points has become tied to the boat. Like the boat is just as much of an assassin as your character is.
Can you hold R2 to just dodge every obstacle with it?
No, but you press a bunch of buttons to get into like fast travel mode, and it's a really cool viewpoint. But it also makes me a little nauseous because boats weird me out. But it's fine. And then you get boat radio. So you're collecting one of the holdovers from the last game is like, you know, you have like, instead of like a race in town as a mission, there's like pages floating around. So you have to capture the pages. In the game before, it was like, you capture Ben Franklin's memoirs or some shit like that. in this, it's like they're sea shanties. So some dumb songs that your boat can sing to you. So you get on your boat and you turn on your pirate radio and you just listen to like, yo, ho, 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 meow, 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 meow. And you can turn the fucking radio station to a different yo, ho, ho song as long as you collect these pages.
That's amazing. That actually reminds me of one other little point about Killzone. They managed to copy both the comic books from The Last of Us and the audio logs from Bioshock.
Oh, really?
Yes. And both were inferior.
So gushing about Assassin's Creed 4, like, it is really, really, really good for an Assassin's Creed game. And, you know, I had said to you when we were playing online, like, it still kind of has that flat feeling of last gen that's been up-res to new gen. However, now that I'm on the open seas and the field of view like just expands across the fucking horizon and you can see islands everywhere, like it makes such a huge difference. And there's weather patterns and there's tornadoes in the water and there's, you know, you're getting flanked by multiple boats. And it's just like, this is something that the PlayStation 3 could do, but it would look like garbage. And like,
exactly,
this is just breezing through it.
Yeah, high-res textures make a lot of difference, and you are right that they're not, you know, it's still a cross-gen game, so it's not going to be, like, the full potential of the system, but it is beautiful, and the coolest thing is that it's actually going to be upgraded again, which I mentioned in the notes. Apparently, they're going to release a 1080p patch, which I think is hilarious.
Fantastic.
To upscale it from 900p to 1080p.
I want all those P's.
Gotta have them P's.
Get those P's.
That's becoming a trend in this generation, apparently, just upscaling after the fact. Like COD Ghost is also getting patched up to 1080p.
I am interested, when we were looking at Metacritic, just off the cuff here, Call of Duty Ghost has the worst user score for Metacritic stuff.
Really? What is it?
2.7.
Wow. Yeah. I think people just want to pile on the Call of Duty hate bandwagon. I mean, you know, this game had a very tepid reception, but people are idiots.
Yeah, I played Call of Duty Ghosts, and I can talk about that later in our not next gen discussion,
or in our next gen discussion, since it's cross gen.
Oh yeah, but I played it on the old version, not the new one. Played old COD.
You can pretend.
It looks so good. Those dogs. I just wanted to pet their furs.
If you take your glasses off, you could say that you were playing next gen.
Rub Vaseline all over my screen. I don't know. There's not too much more to say about Assassin's Creed, except that it really does what the things that were good in Assassin's Creed 3, they have done and like expanded upon and made them awesome. And it's just as addicting as, like, you know, the best Assassin's Creed games have been. They've almost completely done away with the, you know, outside the game experience. Like, everything is pretty in the pirate world you're in. You're not like doing the future shit anymore, which I'm sure you can if you jump out more often, but it's not forced. What I do really like is this apparently is like the year for asshole protagonists.
I like the protagonist.
Yeah, I do too. I like this guy, Edward, right?
Edward Kennedy or something. Not Edward Kennedy. That's Ted Kennedy.
Edward Kenway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so playing as this guy who's like, I'm in it for the money. Fuck you. You know, it's just, it's nice. Because then I don't really have that conundrum of like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't just slaughter everybody.
Yeah, I like that he's kind of roguish, and I like that he doesn't seem to be saddled with the same like importance that the other assassins were saddled with.
Yeah.
At least not yet in where I am, which is not very far at all.
Yeah. I'm not there either.
It just doesn't seem to be taking itself that seriously right now, which is great. I really loved when you went into the multiplayer. Just to jump over, remember the intro video for the multiplayer?
No.
Oh, did you skip it?
I think I did.
Oh, it's so funny. It's this dude. It's like a guy from the Animus simulation, and he's talking to you. He's doing like a little intro video, like a tutorial video. And it's just this dude, and he's like, if you want to learn how to hunt down and corner your kills, you need to watch these tutorial videos.
Oh, I should have watched these tutorial videos.
It's really funny. So yeah, the game just seems to be a little it's taking itself a little less seriously, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I could never take Assassin's Creed that seriously.
Yeah.
So having that be a part of it is great.
Yeah. Stepping away from the conspiracy and going more into like just the faux fiction has been really, it's a nice change. I did really like the conspiracy garbage of the last games. But by the end of it, it was like, where are you going now? This is dumb. You killed off Christian Bale. Christian Bale. What is the point of playing your games anymore?
It just feels a little more breezy without having to worry about all that shit. Mm-hmm. And now that that's become kind of tongue in cheek, like as it was in the multiplayer intro, it's like, oh, I don't have to care about that anymore. Yeah. I don't have to care about this super serious, you know, save the world storyline. Now it's just a dude in a world, and I can be a part of that world. So that's nice for me.
I'm enjoying that as well, especially because there's so much to do in that game. Mm-hmm. Not having interruptions, not having like that need to kind of stay on point and you know, make those captures and unlock those secrets. Like just having that freedom, it's more open world than it's ever been, and it's better for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really excited to experience more myself, and I'll definitely give more impressions as I get farther, because I'm definitely interested in playing the single player, and this is the first time I've been interested in playing an Assassin's Creed single player. So that's
a good
thing. I hope
you do. I would love to hear your take on the fucking pirate radio songs.
I cannot wait. Is Yaslo there?
Yeah.
Or Laszlo, rather.
Wow. Oh, you mean from? Yeah. The talk radio station is my favorite. Yep.
I hope he is. It's just a pirate.
It's Three Dogs on there. Three Dogs up on that radio as well. That needs okay. So next top 10 list, the top 10 list that defines this episode is in-game video DJs.
Speaking of Three Dog, did you hear that there might be Fallout 4 announcement coming very soon?
I'll believe it when I see it, since Fallout 4 announcements were supposed to be happening all throughout the course of the year.
Damn your calm and collected reason. Damn it to hell.
Well, you know, the rumor was that Microsoft was going to announce it as an exclusive or timed exclusive or something. So if they do, then hey, there's a great reason to go get an Xbox One.
That's true. I won't buy one because that's a lot of money, but it is very true. I will wait with bated breath.
Mortgage your house. Get an Xbox One.
You should go work for Microsoft. You'd probably do a better job of selling it than they would.
I think that marketing has already been tried.
We're
expensive, bitches. Deal with it.
Ken Kutaragi attempted that marketing a generation ago, and now Microsoft is kind of attempting it again.
So is there any other games that you played for the launch of the grand old PlayStation 4?
There are two other games that I played. I will start with the one that you didn't play, which is Contrast.
Mm. I played that game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, fuck you then.
Surprise!
Let's talk about Contrast.
Okay. Let's talk about how that 6.7 Metacritic is pretty deserving.
Yep. let's talk about our favorite horrible parts of that game.
Okay.
Is it the terrible voice acting from that girl?
No, skip, next.
No, it's not. Is it the fact that you often like collide with and get stuck in invisible geometry?
That has been a big one for me. Yep, that's top of the list.
Is it the bizarrely like crappy frame rate for a game that is not taxing the system at all?
Yeah, that's yep. That kind of like demo scene vibe I'm getting from the game.
What else is there to complain about in that game?
For me, it's the complete awkwardness of the story design and storytelling, where you're like, hey, I just ran to this area and now there's this picture of my mom who's like sucking a dick in a silhouette against the wall that I climb over her ass to get to this fucking collectible that says you just got 6 out of 10 collectibles. There's only going to be 10 of these, so you're almost done with this game.
I know. Wait, so is that all the collectibles in the game? That first set?
I can't imagine there's going to be anything else in that game.
I have 8 of them. And I played for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, one thing that I do really like about the game is the way that... So clearly they actually use like a lighting engine to cast the shadows, because you can shift into tiny little areas that you're not supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. So I was just like fucking around and I shifted into like a shadow that like was partially cast onto an iron bar. I could just move left and right like one pixel. Yeah, it's definitely not the best game. I would say it's worth the price of free, but not much more.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Worth the price of free is accurate.
Yeah, but it's got some cool ideas. I mean, it's interesting because it doesn't really ever explain this, but you're like this little like ballerina lady, and you are, for whatever reason, you're friends with this little girl, and you guys are in the real world, but the little girl's mom is only in the shadow world or something.
All the characters in the game, besides you and the little girl you accompany, are only shown as silhouettes. So,
yeah,
and you want to take that in terms of grander game theory, you know, do with it what you will. But to
it's
me,
implied
it's just
that
they didn't want to make more fucking models.
Well, it's a cool idea, and it implies that like they're only silhouettes, because like if at one point you have to like shine a light on the band in order to get them to play. And she's like, if you don't shine a light on us, then we don't exist. And I'm like, oh my God. What happens if the lights go out? But yeah, it's an interesting idea. It's not very well executed. The voice acting is poor. The story seems kind of weak. It's kind of by the numbers. Did you get to the part at the nightclub yet?
I don't know. What was the part at the nightclub?
just with the mom singing the song. Mm-hmm. She's got some giant shadow boobs.
Yeah, I got, yeah, my Jen came into the room and she's like, whoa, are you playing Jessica the Rabbit game? Who framed Roger Rabbit, the video game?
My favorite part so far has been when I was just running down a pathway and then my character suddenly fell from the sky. As if they had, like, just teleported up, like, 800 feet.
Yeah, yeah. I've had some moments like that. The little girl has performed the loading man stance and then just proceeded to ice skate around the entire level.
I have tried to jump on several structures that look completely solid only to fall through and then get sad music. I like how the game gives you an achievement for just dying.
Yep. Yeah, I am at the point where you're in the hotel trying to do something and I got stuck on that section.
And like legit stuck or like just can't figure it out?
Like I can't figure this puzzle out and I'm okay. Done. So.
Yeah, it's a nice little diversion. I'm glad it's free. Mm-hmm. I will say it kind of highlights the... I think that for like the first year or so, until they get like a nice stable of AAA titles, they're probably going to be promoting a lot of indie games on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And I think it's a cool way to get exposure for these guys.
Totally.
So yep. That's pretty neat.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, this was definitely for worse, but it is really cool. And I'm excited to see what else they put on there. They're going to put Binding of Isaac on there, I know, and I mm-hmm. freaking love that game. So,
do you also love the fact that on the box for the PlayStation... there are two games that aren't shipped at launch on the back of it.
Is that the case? It was Watch Dogs and what else?
The majority of the back of the box is taken up by a giant figure of the dude from Watch Dogs. And then I think there is...
Drive Club?
No, there's a car. That infamous game.
Oh, yeah, Second Son.
Yep.
Hey, that they got a release date, too. That's coming out in March.
Yep.
Which is nice. I'm glad that we are going to have something in like the next 6 months.
Yeah.
So what was I saying?
Well, you're going to talk more about the other game that you were playing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, there was another free PS Plus game, which is Resogun. And Resogun is probably the best game for the PlayStation 4 right now, I think.
Yeah.
Resogun is a really, really awesome game. It is a side-scrolling shooter, except instead of just like moving like from left to right and going to the endpoint, you're on like a cone. Mm-hmm. So you can go all the way around the cone and get to the other side, and enemies will come at you from both sides.
Yep.
So it's kind of like it's like a Defender. Super Stardust, yeah, or Defender rather. I've never played Defender. Is it the same idea?
Yep, you move back and forth, and you collect people and drop them off at locations.
Yes, it is the only PlayStation 4 launch title with a throw human button. And is therefore the best one of all.
It also is the only one that talks to you out of the controller.
Yes, I love that.
Me too.
Human in danger.
Armageddon.
She's so casual about the Armageddon.
It's the same lady from, same voice, sounds like, from Super Stardust, which is nice. Like,
oh, really? That's
familiar
pretty cool.
Handshake. Oh my!
It's got some cool mechanics too. It gives you all the right tools. It's got like the boost that makes you invulnerable. So whenever you free a human, you can rush over to pick it up, or like you can rush over to kill some keepers before they disappear. And then it's got like the overdrive that gives you like the uber laser, and then the bomb just kills everything on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the throw human lets you throw humans.
I think if there's one flaw to Resogun, it's they don't teach you any of those mechanics at all. So it's like,
no.
The boost button, I thought I would just tap it. I didn't know you could hold it and exhaust the full meter. So I would just be doing these little short boosts until I was like, why is that bar recharging? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I agree, Griffin. It's definitely old school and like it doesn't really mete out tutorials or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
I don't
here.
Need a tutorial. I just need like a tip screen that's like, yo, if you collect humans, that'll upgrade your boost instead of it, you know, being something that you learn while you're playing the game. And it's not a really great game to be learning stuff while you're playing because it's very frantic.
Yeah, and if I could lodge another small complaint, I think that sometimes it can be difficult to distinguish between different on-screen elements.
Yeah.
which is, you know, a common issue in shooters, but it does use a really cool rendering technique, which is voxels, which is basically like the Minecraft technique. It's just it's pixels that have volume. It's three-dimensional pixels. And the whole game world is made out of pixels. So when like shit explodes, like the little cubes fall out of it, it's really cool looking.
Yeah. At the, when you beat the level and the whole thing just explodes into pieces, that's really, really sweet.
Yes, it's amazing. It's hard. It's the first level was not any pushover. But it's definitely a great game, and I was having a really fun time with it. It's, you know, it's very score attack. I don't even know if there is, like, an end.
Yeah. Oh, even but, contrary to what I said, too, like, all the little tidbits and, like, the little tips that they could be teaching you aren't critical, because really, at the end of it, it's like, just survive the level and kill all the dudes. You don't need to do anything else.
Yeah, like you don't have to save all the humans, although that's the only way to get on the leaderboard. But you can have, you can hop into it. Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree that you need the tutorials, because you can have a great time just like using the analog sticks only.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it is, it's very just kind of jumping in play, you know, very fun, like arcade experience. And I was having a lot of fun with it. And I will also say, just to transition back to UI and other, you know, hardware features, I was having a great time playing it over remote play.
Yes.
On my Vita, which is really cool because a game like that demands low latency. And that for me was like the ultimate test of remote play's prowess.
Yeah.
And it works, as far as I can tell, it works perfectly.
Huh. I had just the slightest little bit of delay combined with me not being very good at it, so I was like, maybe this isn't gonna work. But I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4 on remote play, which it also doesn't work very well because the sticks are loose. And to say quickly, it was something I forgot to mention, like you guys said before, that controller is freaking awesome, like perfect in every way conceivable. It could maybe be a little bigger, is my only thing, but everything is great about buttons, sticks, triggers, all that shit. The sticks are a lot tighter, and then when you go to the Vita nubs, they're very loose, so you end up doing this like serpentine zigzag with your dude as you're like, you know, cutting back and forth just trying to run to some location.
It is a little tough to get used to. I didn't have too much trouble, but you are definitely right, Griffin. The sticks on the Vita are weird, to say the least.
Well, they're very similar to the PlayStation 3 sticks, which, you know.
Yeah, but they're like little babies. they're the travel size.
Yeah.
Which it just makes it kind of a weird experience to use them, and also just having the on-screen buttons is a little weird. Although actually, I found it not to be too bad. How did you feel using the on-screen, like the touchscreen and the rear touchpad?
Didn't even notice them. I didn't have to use them. They never got in the way.
So, okay.
I mean, no news.
You have to use them. You have to use them in Resogun a little bit, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And another really cool little like touch is that whenever you use them, a small little translucent Vita pops up on the screen to show you which button you've pressed.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice little, you know, short of like a tactile response, like of the button clicking, it's a nice little way to be like, hey, you did it right.
Right. Or if you're like me and you pick up your Vita and you're like, what the fuck is on this screen? And then you realize your fingers are just touching all the buttons on the back.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Another really cool thing about remote play is that you can turn the PS4 on via remote play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did this today. If you put it in standby mode rather than turning it off, you can go into PS4 Link and it will automatically turn on the PS4.
Oh, nice. Because it functions just like a controller at that point. Like if you turn it off, it literally says like, you disconnected your controller, reconnect the controller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh? Interesting. Yeah, it's really, I mean, I'm shocked that they got it to work so well, because we've seen remote play on the Vita from the PS3 and it was kind of bad. So I just kind of expected that remote play from the PS4 would also be bad. But apparently Sony actually like planned for this, and With now that you've got the Vita and the PS4 together, you know, the PSP's out of the picture, PS3's out of the picture, both of the bad things are gone. You put the two good things together, and it works really well. And I think it's also, Griffin, just to comment on your difficulties, I think it is dependent on your internet connection. Because when I was downloading games, my lag became, like, very perceptible. you know, we're talking, like, maybe quarter second lag or like half second, which
oh,
is very
God. yeah
yeah
I got nowhere near that. It's just the tiniest bit that makes me feel a little weird. And that's why I can play Assassin's Creed in it, because it's not, it's, it doesn't require that reaction time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel comfortable playing like a fighting game with remote play.
Yeah, and the thing is also, I mean, with analog sticks, the I guess the issue for them is that because analog sticks are so precise, any issues are going to be magnified, you know, because that precision will be lost. But again, for me, it passed muster, and it might just be a strength of connection thing. I know that if you wire your PS3, for example, it's supposed to work better.
Yes, mine is wired.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled because I took my Vita and I went a floor away. So I went through a full floor and it made no difference than when I was standing in the same room across from the console. So what I'm really liking to do with it is like when I'm playing Assassin's Creed, I'll like go to a new town and like run around and collect all the treasures and do all the easy kind of just like fetch quest crap. And I'll do that on my Vita while I'm like laying on the couch or taking poop or something like that. and then when I'm like going to get into the meat and potatoes missions or doing something that's a little more like, you know, finesse requiring skill level, like I'll jump back onto the system.
Yeah, for me, it's just I can play it in bed. And I bought the Wii U thinking, hey, I can play it in bed, but you know, I can't. Which is funny. I mean, I still think the technology in the gamepad is a little more advanced, but it's very short range. You know, you can get your 60 frames a second. That's cool and all. But you can only get it over like 10 or 15 feet. Whereas in this case, you can get your 30 frames a second anywhere, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Griffin, if you're remote playing, can you just put the Vita down and pick up a controller and continue on the PS4 without interrupting anything?
I haven't tried that yet.
Okay. That'll be my next test then, I suppose. But overall, I'm extremely impressed with the implementation out of the gate. I think it can only get better, and it is really, really cool.
Totally.
And I was always pessimistic about how good it could be, so I'm very pleased.
Beviter? That doesn't work.
Bavarian cream.
Have you played anything else or done anything else novel? You bought the camera shit for your PlayStation 4.
Yeah, so that was the next thing I was going to touch on, and I wanted to spend a little time talking about this. I'm an idiot, first of all, just to preface this whole conversation. So I bought myself a camera, a PlayStation camera, and a chat headset, like one that's better than the pack-in, which is honestly serviceable. And I bought both of those because I wanted to experiment with streaming on Twitch. And I'm happy to report that streaming on Twitch is awesome. I think I honestly, and I say this without any hint of irony or cynicism or whatever, I think that streaming coming to both of these consoles is going to be like the defining next gen feature. I think that it is something
defining
that is
or exhausting. Because right now my Facebook or my Twitter feed is almost entirely comprised of, hey, I'm playing some Knack. You want to watch my stream? Like, your job is to do this, people I'm following. I don't need more of this. Of just you sitting alone playing this shit.
I guess we'll have to see how it develops. I just think it's a really, I think it's a really cool feature, and I think it's been blowing up on the PC scene recently. And I think they're timely in getting getting this onto consoles right now. And I think it is kind of where things are heading at the moment, whether you like it or not, I guess.
No, but I do like it. Like, I do love it. And I love it that it helps out people like you or me who don't have the fancy recording set up with the Hoppenog Elgato box that lets you do all that shit and pull all that stuff onto a computer and edit it.
Exactly. Yeah, but it democratizes the whole thing. Yeah. Anyone can do it now. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's really cool.
Yep, I agree.
And I went and I streamed yesterday. I streamed the audio, video, and everything. I set it to best quality. There's definitely compression, but it looks good. It looks quite serviceable.
When you were streaming it, did it archive your stream?
So I don't know. Like, I think there's a couple of steps involved in stream archiving, which I don't fully know. But I was watching, Wario 64 from NeoGAF.
Yep.
I watched him stream, and he was saying on stream that his streams were archiving.
I heard that too. That he was archiving, and he was looking into like ripping them out or something. But I'd like to get further confirmation and information from that.
Yeah, and I think we'll have to kind of wait to see how that shakes out. And again, I think people have also been reporting success with capture cards and things, which is good.
Good.
I think at least. You know, don't quote me on it. But yeah, definitely the archiving thing is happening, which I guess wasn't initially reported by Sony. But that's pretty cool. If that works, then just the level of connectivity is very impressive, especially out of the gate, that Twitch works and isn't just like a huge clusterfuck. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah. With so many people hitting it, you know, all of a sudden you'd think there may be some issues, but it's good that that's not the case.
Yeah, and it's good that the implementation, you know, day one, if shit is working well day one, then it can only go up.
Exactly.
And I will say, just kind of to touch on that, the only complaint that I do have is I was having party chat with Jamie while streaming on Twitch, and his audio wasn't coming through. Huh. So I was just like talking to no one, like a weirdo. And I do think they need to, hopefully they'll fix that. I actually tweeted at Shuhei Yoshida, seeing if he would respond to me, asking me about that, and didn't hear anything. But I'm hoping that people raise a stink about that. Because yeah. if you could do that, I think it would make for some really interesting situations for streaming and content production and all that.
For sure. Party chat, that's, you know, you go into sort of a chat lobby external to the game. Mm-hmm. When you're in the game, if you're using, can you jump into like a game chat that'll allow you to talk to each other?
So you mean and have it be broadcast on Twitch?
Yeah.
I don't know, and that would be something to look into for sure. Maybe that'll be my next test. I'll give a report next weekend, or you know, next week whenever we talk about this again. Mm. But you know, I don't even know if that exists. Like, is that available in Assassin's Creed? Can you have in-game chat?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You could take screenshots either. Of your,
so. You gotta hit that share button, man.
Maybe somewhere.
The share button, I gotta say, is pretty cool. I like the share button
it's
a lot.
It's really cool.
I was skeptical at first. I was like, oh, you know, Sony's like, oh, okay, YouTube. Like, okay, that's cool. But the Twitch, like the YouTube is a little limited because you only get your 15 minutes. The screenshot is cool, but, you know, maybe not as revolutionizing. But the streaming, just capture all the footage and
wait,
no restrictions.
You can export to YouTube?
No, not yet. This is back when it was announced. But yeah, I think that, like I said, I think the streaming is sort of the game changer to borrow Sony's Vita advertising slogan. Cause it's just, it's not,
they won't mind. They're not using it.
No, they're not. So yeah, I really like that feature and I think it's going to be really cool on the PS4 and the Xbox.
Speaking of the Xbox, it's like 5 more days until another console launch.
I know. I wish one of us was getting it so we could speak definitively about it.
Yeah, it's kind of been on my mind.
Griffin, buy it.
No.
Buy it right now.
No. I'll think about it.
It's the D you're looking for.
Oh, man.
You know you want that game.
I do.
So have we heard anything in the launch? It seems like it's been so quiet.
With what? The Xbox.
The Xbox. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this week is going to be all sorts of craziness because, you know, what are they going to do? Compete with the company that's coming out first? That doesn't make a lot of sense. I think,
yeah.
You know, they played it well by saying, hey, congratulations on your launch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sony, now it's our turn.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a, you know, good way to start things off. You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, and they showed off, I can't remember if we even talked about this, but they have shown off the UI, you know, they showed it off in response to all the internet complaining right. about the fact that they'd never shown it, like, working in real time.
Yeah.
Yousef, what's his name, and Mark Whitten were both sitting there and, you know, demoing the UI, and it looks, the UI actually looks really cool, I've got to say. It looks a little too, like, insane for me, but it looks cool.
All right.
Have you seen it?
I think my commitment for the Xbox One might be if I can ever get my hands on it, like outside of pre-ordering, it'll be something mm-hmm. I'll pick up.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's anything like the PS4, I mean, like right after the launch, pre-orders went live again on Amazon, which is really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so I went to the Best Buy again the day on Friday to see if they had any units in stock, and they did not.
They did not. Yeah, and I noticed the Amazon units sold out really fast. But I think they have come back into stock again for like a brief period of time. So it may be that supplies aren't going to be quite as constrained as they have been in prior generations.
Yeah, possibly not. I'm also friends that were visiting the other day wanted to get a PlayStation 4, and they missed out with the pre-order. So they are on multiple lists for multiple websites, companies, in-store things. For whenever they get anything in, they're supposed to be notified, and nothing yet. So that's kind of like that Amazon thing, like that they were in stock for mere moments because now they're out and there's a waiting list.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a couple hours and then they were gone. I mean, it was so stealthy. I don't think most people knew about it. But yeah, I mean, I will have to see just how constrained supply is. I mean, I think it's going to be quite constrained for both consoles. I do think that the PS4 will probably be doing a little better, but, you know, I still think it's going to be hard to find an Xbox One. Oh, but I guess you'll find out.
We'll find out. Did you play anything else with the launch of your new game or a new console?
Let me think. I loaded up the Playroom.
Oh, yeah.
But it wanted me to move my camera from on top of my TV to below my TV, and I was like, no.
You're like, below me, TV.
Exactly. Can I say something actually about the camera? The camera is cool because it automatically adjusts depth based on where you're sitting.
Cool.
So when I first hooked it up, it was like, oh, hey, here's you in the rest of the room. And then when I streamed, it was like, oh, hey, here's your face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That is cool.
And also, when you put a headset into your DualShock 4, or if you hook up your camera, it's like, hey, do you want to use voice commands? And the voice commands are the worst. It's like, say PlayStation, and you say PlayStation 4 times, and then eventually it loads. And then it's like, say one of these three things. Home, or back.
And you're like, no, not home, no!
I think I said back, and then it tried to load knack for me.
Still in beta, baby.
Yeah, and then I was like, this is dumb. Yeah. But, yeah. But otherwise, I don't think I've played anything else. Have you?
Yeah, there's a lot of free stuff on the PlayStation Network. If you when you unbox your system, you get this little card in there that's like, hey, here's a 30-day trial, you know, PlayStation Network Plus, which you need now to play online. Surprise.
Yeah.
So I put that in, entered that code, got my whatever extended by 60 days, whatever that means.
Oh, that worked for you?
Or 30 days. Yep.
Mine didn't work. It said it had been taken.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you type it in with all caps?
No, it gave me a funny error message. It might have been that the PSN was being stupid. Yeah, I'll try it
again. I try it again.
My $10 worked fine, though.
Okay, yeah, and then you get a $10 card for PSN, so that's great.
Did you enter your Music Unlimited code?
Yeah, that one's going to die. That one went into the garbage with that used other two codes. So I went to the PlayStation Store and was looking around like, oh, man, there's a lot of stuff on here. Like, you've got...
Yeah, there is.
You've got Resogun and Contrast. You've got all the games digitally. And then you also have some hidden little gems like Flower, which is launched on the Vita now, I guess, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cross-buy. So if you have it for one thing, you get it for everything.
Oh, wow.
Which is cool. Then they also have a handful of other games like DC Universe Online, free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I saw Warframe and Blacklight.
Yeah, so I downloaded Warframe and Blacklight.
Okay.
And I was playing them. I was playing one of them because I can't boot Blacklight. I get into that game and it's...
it's got the first-person shooter plague.
Yep. I get in there and it's like, it just completely errors me out. But
okay.
I played Warframe, which is not a first-person shooter, so therefore it works. But did you play... You had said you started playing a bit of that?
I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, though.
I haven't had a lot of hands. Because that game is a fucking acid trip.
Is it good?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, bummer.
I think it might be better if you're playing it with somebody else. But so essentially, it reminds me of Dust 514 or
okay,
like it has that like loot 'em up kind of feel to it, where you know you're jumping into a small mission and you're with a small group of people and you kill these AI enemies and you get loot, and then at the end of it you go back and you look at your loot and you're like, hey, that's cool. However, this game doesn't make any goddamn sense, because you get this loot which you don't actually collect in the levels. Like,
yeah,
there's, you just kill guys and then crap falls out of them and it's like, oh, you got more ammo or something. And then at the end of the level, it says, okay, here's your rewards. And then you go back and it's like, now you have 6 electro bands and 15 duroplasticity armors and 1 turbo core. And it's like, and what do you do with this? There's no like fusion. There's no marketplace. There's nothing you do with it. Shit. And then you have cards, like playing cards that are like, this makes knives appear out of the wall. And I was like, I want that. I want to shoot knives out of the walls at people. And it's like, okay, what do you want to do with it? Fuse it or transmute it? And I'm like, what? So I was just combining shit. And then I was like, well, okay, I made something new, I think. And there's still no, like, fucking equip this thing. But
weird.
The other thing that's horseshit is you start it and you do the first little mission and you go through the tutorial and it's like, okay, you've been playing as Excalibur, the guy who has a pistol and a gun and a sword. Now, who do you want to play with? Loki or Ash? I don't know, whatever. And it's like, what? Like,
Excalibur, please?
No, it's like you've been playing as one guy who you understand their build, and then it's like, who else do you want to play as? Based exclusively on their character design and names. However, they are vastly different play styles according to the tip screen. And then I was like, well, I'll stick with what I know, I guess. And now there is no conceivable way of changing that.
Maybe you should delete the game and then reload it. Like, I don't know.
So I played a few more missions. I played a few more missions, and they're really shitty because it's like the same environment over and over and over again. And mm-hmm. there's no challenge to it. There's no loot to speak of that I really understand.
Yeah.
But the really mind-boggling thing is you jump into these missions and it's like you're in the lobby and it's like got a 25-minute countdown. And then it's like, do you want to wait or do you want to play now? So I'm like, well, play now. And I go in there and it's like, you know, certain individuals join my games. It's like EN Turbo Browser and then like Duchess Space 1. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, are these real people? Because they follow me, and they don't get a lot of kills. But then, every once in a while, they'll totally branch off and run around and do their own things, and then they'll just kind of stand around.
Really, all I'm taking from this is that we're going to go to the top of the Warframe ladder together.
It's like, either these people are the most courteous players, like, they revive you, they stay on point with the game's objectives, they aren't really great at it. They all play like the roles efficiently, whatever those roles might be. But then their names are just like, it's like not stupid enough to be real. But then it's things like you said, where it's just like Iron Chief. and you're like, wait a second.
I think this just means that we're playing it tonight.
All right, man. Game on. I'm ready.
Well, that sounds intriguing. And yeah, I looked at Blacklight. I don't really like shooters, which Killzone reminded me of. So I don't know if I want to get Blacklight. I'll give it a shot, I guess, at some point. I mean, I'm sure during the drought, I'll download it and check it out and see what it's all about. And I've heard the name before, so.
Well, there was Blacklight Tango Down on PlayStation 3.
Okay. But I've heard of Retribution, not Tango Down.
Oh, maybe there was Tango Down was another one.
I don't know. Maybe I saw an ad for it on PS4 or something. But it is cool that they just throw so much free stuff at you.
Yeah, for
sure. You know, you get your 2 free games for PS Plus, which everyone at least has for 30 days. Yep. Then you get your 3 free to play games. Mm-hmm. Because DC Universe, you said.
Yep.
And then if you have purchased Flower or Sound Shapes, hey, you can play those up-res.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep, Sound Shapes is on there, too.
Which is really cool. It's a nice way to kind of... It's a nice way to have, like, you know, have a little bit of a library when you go into it.
For sure.
So that's really cool. Yeah. Do you have any other stuff that you tried out, or
no? That I think covers everything for my current gen, my next gen shit, man.
Do you have any other impressions, just generally, about the console? Like, is there anything we haven't touched on?
No, nothing. I think we covered it by saying it's super sexy and snappy, and the UI is great, and everything about it's good. It has a handful of problems, but
yeah. One amongst those handful, by the way, is just that your actual content that you own is a little confusing how to figure out what to do with it right now.
Yeah.
Because they fixed a lot of the weirdness of the cross media bar, but in the process they don't really know where to put all your shit anymore.
Right.
So they just kind of dump it into one little folder, and it just randomly reorganizes itself. And like, you'll go into like your TV and video services, and like, you'll have Amazon and Netflix, and then there'll be like ads for 8 more in there. That's kind of a mess, but it's, you know, the main pieces, which are how fast it is and, you know, how fluid it feels, are very much in place already. And it, like I said, can really only get better. So
for sure. Yeah. Just little nitpicky things that, of course, time will change. So
yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Yep.
So what else should we cover now that we have kind of, I think, put the cap on the PlayStation 4 business?
I'll just tell quickly, PlayStation Battle Royale for the Vita is available for free.
Oh, is it?
I think, or else it's because I played it and like redeemed the free code when I got it through Gamefly. So I've been playing that on the Vita quite a bit.
Okay, I thought that was PAPS Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing, PlayStation Battle Royale. It's the same. It's the same. It's still.
You're talking about the fighting game, right?
Yeah, yeah. The fake Smash Bros. Sony Smash.
Yeah,
Bros.
That game. That game looked like a butt.
It's fine. It's fine.
It has Parappa in it.
It does. Yeah. It's. I think a better game to play alone than against real people.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Then I played Call of Duty Ghosts last weekend or whenever when that came out. And
were there dogs in it?
Xbox 360. There are dogs goddamn everywhere.
I heard that the dog was actually underutilized after all the hype.
There is every goddamn dog. I only played the multiplayer, the competitive multiplayer, and one of the kill streak perks, which is a pretty low level perk, is like you just get this guard dog that chills out by you. So, you know, this dog just fucking six people around the map, and then if you die, the dog lives and it comes back to try and find you after you respawn, but in its route it'll still like decimate people. So you have this little like hunter killer missile thing that's flying around the map murdering everybody on the way back to its master, and then everybody has them because everybody's good, and it's just like a world of dogs.
Does it have the cat genocide level in the single player campaign that I predicted?
Buzzing.
How was the campaign?
I didn't play the campaign. I only played the single for the multiplayer. I would like to, but I just red boxed it. So they only have the single. So disc one is multiplayer only, and disc two is single player, which you need to have disc one to play. It is not confusing at all.
My brain.
Yeah, so on the Xbox 360, the Xbox 360 hates you.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like Microsoft just kind of generally hates you these days. They used to like you, but not anymore.
Well, overall, I think Call of Duty Ghosts is a fine game. It's if you're looking to shoot guys and feel the rush of shooting guys, like, hey, it's still what you want. Everything there is still mostly there. They've changed some things that, you know, if you're not somebody who's been playing each, you know, installment pretty intensely, you won't really notice. There are some flaws. For example, the spawning is agreed to be terrible. Like, you will start in an area and there are just dudes there. So, I don't know, something hopefully they can be patched in. The level designs are fun, but there's also, like, destructible things, and when you destruct them, most of the time it just doesn't do anything, and then other times it's like the whole screen turns white and now the level's different and you're like, I don't know what happened.
Can I ask you a question about this game?
Yeah.
On the Xbox 360, is there fish AI?
You know, again, I only played the multiplayer, so
answer is no. I think you have to wait for that feature until next gen.
I was the fish AI. I was the one who's like, my goal is to kill 5 people in each match and not die over 30 times.
You do remember when they were talking about the fish.
But that was a single player thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like the general consensus is that COD is, if you're looking to shoot people for the next year with your friends, COD remains the definitive shoot people for the next year with your friends game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And I'll tell you too, it's pretty fucking fun. I had a good time. I was playing with Hunter and we were playing split screen and, you know, and shooting people. And then after he was done, I was like, I'm going to sneak away and play more of this. Which is typically not something I would do, but I was really getting into it and having a fun time with it. I sucked horribly. You can be a lady in it now, which is pretty exciting. But there are some of the things that they do with the systems where it's like, if you earn a weapon, if you purchase a weapon for one of your dudes, another one of your dudes can't use it. So it's like a per character basis. It's not like a per per profile basis, which I understand. There's also a squad mode, which is kind of supposed to be like the introduction to multiplayer where you're playing with AI people as well as potentially humans. They've added in an extinction mode, which is their version of zombies, where you're
is fighting, that the aliens thing?
You're fighting aliens and you're moving a tail around, and it's really kind of boring.
I saw that. Someone streamed that.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. But it's pretty much still just a Call of Duty game.
Yeah, but you know what? Until someone can make a military shooter that is more fun for people than Call of Duty will remain on top.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it yet.
No. And you know what? Call of Duty is a good game. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's fine for what it does.
Yeah, I think people were fair in the critical sphere to knock it for being too samey, but I also think that it has a solid foundation. It wouldn't have sold as well as it did if it didn't.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. To hear that it is not as innovative as Black Ops 2 is a bummer, because Black Ops 2 was one of my favorite games of last year. Mm-hmm. So that's a shame, but, you know.
Well, I mean, Infinity Ward is kind of a shell of its former self. You know, Treyarch is now the innovative, you know, interesting Call of Duty developer, and Infinity Ward is just like the lame one after being gutted. So that's not terribly surprising.
Yeah. It's really weird to see the Neversoft logo upon playing that game.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really weird.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you poor bastards. How the mighty have fallen.
How many people from Neversoft still work there is the real question.
Just one skateboard.
They just have a lock of Tony Hawk's hair in a glass vial.
Tony's still trying to get it every day.
Yeah. So have you been playing anything else?
No. Nope. Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. Oh my God. Clash of Clans is like the, you know, thing that people play on mobile devices.
Yeah.
Fuck Clash of Clans. Shots motherfucking fired right now.
Hit me with it. What are you playing?
Tiny Death Star.
Oh, you're playing that?
Boom.
That was a very divisive game. Some people were like, oh, it's really fun. Other people were like, oh, how far has LucasArts fallen?
Really? That's like what people are asking about, is Tiny Death Star. They're like, oh, LucasArts, you've really dropped the ball.
Is it any different than Tiny Tower?
No, nothing. It's okay. From what I understand about Tiny Tower, which is just watching my nephews and stepson play, it's the same thing, except it has Star Wars characters in it.
That is better. Have you spent real money on it?
No, hell no.
Okay. But if you had, I would have terminated this call immediately.
It's crossed my mind a couple times, but I'm like, nope, no, hold fast. There's no point. Boba Fett has already made his appearance on my Death Star. What do I need to spend real money on?
That's right. You can only go down from there.
Yeah. They hit the Fett. I got my Fett quota. I'm all set. I got the Fett. I'm set. That's what I said. It's really nice because, unlike Clash of Clans, there's more immediate things to do in it. You can like move your elevator up and down to like deliver people to floors. The constant stocking and restocking happens at a faster clip than Clash of Clans, so you're not just like waiting for days for shit to build and not do anything. There's also not that constant getting knocked back by people attacking your shit, which, you know, after a while got really boring. So I didn't engage in it. And now it's just like I'm constantly losing all my things to people invading my little shitty town. so I like the passive single player nature of the Tiny Death Star experience.
It pushes a lot of, like, I wouldn't necessarily call them fun buttons, but they're like do more of this buttons.
Yes. And they also reward you very nicely, where it's like, oh, you gave this guy a job that he wanted. Now you get a Death Star buck. And you're like, I already wanted to do that because he wanted to work there. And now you're giving me bonus points for it? Hell yeah.
And it's just by its very nature, it'll have a lot more character than Tiny Tower ever could, because you're using Star Wars shit.
Oh, totally.
So.
Yep, it's charming, and I got it when it was free, so that was nice as well.
That is a nice get.
And the music is all very good. It's like all Star Wars music that has been remixed to be this really like tinny elevator.
Oh, that's cute. You
know, yeah, it's very, very endearing.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, that's cool. I have not touched any mobile games, and other than what I've already described on the PS4, I haven't really played much of anything. You know, just too busy with school. Yeah. But it's still been a pretty wild week with all the PS4 stuff. So
wild, wild week.
Indeed.
Do we want to bang out some of these news things we have here?
Sure, and we can, you know, skip as needed, but let's go through them. So tell me about the Amazon digital store. Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, because they're supposed to have deals separate from PlayStation Store.
So can you help me understand exactly how it works? Because I didn't really follow this story. So what's the deal?
You can buy shit on Amazon with money.
Yes.
Like, you can buy digital things too, like you buy computer games and whatnot. And sometimes,
and you can, like, get a code to activate on Steam?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Now you get that, but for PlayStation.
Do you buy it and then it goes onto your account automatically, or do you have to enter a code that you get?
Unfortunately, I haven't purchased anything on it, so I can't speak to what that does. The most exciting thing that I have taken away from this little news tidbit is that they will have deals separate from the PlayStation Store. So you have yet another venue to get cheap online games.
That's pretty cool.
Cheap games online.
I can dig that. That's great. More deals is always good.
Right. More opportunities for Amazon to give you free money when they fuck up too.
Most definitely. I think I have like 96 cents in Amazon credit, which will just immediately go over to the PSN.
Yes.
So what else? BlizzCon.
BlizzCon. After a 1-year hiatus, it came back with a bang.
Hmm.
The most interesting thing for me was that they announced Hearthstone is going to be an open beta next month. Hearthstone is their World of Warcraft, or sorry, Warcraft characters in a collectible card game format.
Have you played tablets. It, Griffin?
I haven't, because it's closed motherfucking beta.
It's also for PCs, I think.
Well, I'm most excited to play it on tablet, because, you know, that seems like the place to be with that.
People love this game.
Yeah.
People are going, they're like frothing at the mouth of this game.
I want to be one of those people.
I don't want to touch it because I played Magic in college, my first year of college, and became like dangerously addicted.
I played a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! And I'm ready to get on some like big boy pants and play some real card games that are free.
You mean Yu-Gi-Oh! Latest version?
No, I played like high school Yu-Gi-Oh!
No. I mean, putting on the big boy pants to go buy the latest version of Yu-Gi-Oh!
I don't even know what I don't know how many Duo DCMs that could be at this point.
Is Hearthstone? What's the pricing model on Hearthstone?
Free to play, buy shit to move quickly through it.
Do you have to? Are there some cards that you'll never get unless you buy them?
As far as I know, no. I don't know if it means there's some things that are straight up locked out, but I know that in applying of promise and trying to get people to be okay with that model, they said 44 out of the top 50 people on the card game have spent nothing on it. So you're not necessarily to buy anything, but I think it's more convenience based.
Okay. I can be all right with that. If I don't have to buy anything, I will definitely give Hearthstone a try.
Yeah.
But part of why I've been kind of like, is just because of the free-to-play, and I'm just inherently suspicious of free-to-play.
Right.
It's funny because I want to give Blizzard $20 for their good game, but they don't want to make it that easy. But anyway, so that's a pretty big deal for sure. You mentioned that there was a WoW expansion.
I'm not the best at remembering what the name of this WoW expansion was.
I like your name for it. You should read it.
I can't see it right now, so you're gonna have to read it.
It was King Dungeon Man of the Rituals Storm Ritual.
I think that's pretty spot on.
Did they say what they're adding to this? They're raising the level cap to 100, right?
Sure, I don't know. I actually have no idea what it could or couldn't be. What I do know is that they're overhauling the graphics again.
Oh, wow.
So this time it's going to be a more focus on the characters improving instead of the landscape and just the overall engine. So adding another level of realism to the game. Mm-hmm.
That's cool, I guess. Yeah. Pretty much it. They'll do, at this point, they're like, just please don't unsubscribe.
Yeah. I heard people who know things about World of Warcraft be excited about the newest expansion. Mm-hmm. So that's good, I guess, if it's keeping the hardcore interested.
Yeah. They're losing a lot of, they still have like 6 million, but they're losing a lot of subscribers for
right.
sure.
Right. I just don't know if there's anything left they can do to bring the average person back. Like, what remains in the World of Warcraft lore that is to be explored by, you know, your common player?
I don't think anything. I think the only thing they can do is try to keep who they have. And I think their strategy is showing that, because they've actually been talking of the potential of, like, adding procedurally generated content.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I don't think would really be that relevant to a new player at all. I mean, they're going to want to get the story stuff, you know, out of the way. Mm-hmm, whereas the procedurally generated stuff is only for the veteran who's just, like, totally bored, you know?
Yeah, yep.
So I think at this point, they recognize that they're not going to grow their audience, and they just want to see if they can keep as much as possible.
The other announcement that I remember hearing out of BlizzCon was there is something for Diablo, I think.
Something for Diablo, probably.
I didn't watch BlizzCon this year, which was kind of a bummer, but I don't know. Like, the announcements that they had seemed pretty flat. I'm sure they had a Q&A for StarCraft, and I'm sure that they talked about intricacies of balancing things for Diablo and World of Warcraft.
Leroy Jenkins.
He was hosting, no doubt, again. Yeah. Yep.
Did you see the guy doing the cosplay of the South Park episode?
Uh-uh.
He was cosplaying the guy, the dude who was like the really powerful guy just sitting at the computer.
Nice.
So like, he brought an entire computer with him for the cosplay and just set up his desk in front of like the bleachers.
I wonder if they did this where they have the comedian do the stand up bit and like judge the costume contest.
I don't know.
Years before it was Jay Moore, and that was awful.
Yeah, he's a slimy little dude. I think I saw that on YouTube. But yeah, that was a really funny cosplay. But not too much else from BlizzCon, you were saying?
Not that I recall. I haven't dug into the details, and that's mostly because there's not a lot of them.
Yeah. Speaking of not a lot of details, there was a Nintendo Direct.
Yes, Stealth Direct.
On Wednesday of this week, which seems like an eternity ago. And it was probably... Okay, the opening scene of the Direct... Did you see the Direct?
I didn't.
Okay, the opening scene of the Direct was probably the best moment in any Nintendo Direct I've ever seen.
Okay.
It was so utterly absurd. First of all, it opened with Biltrinen getting on an elevator with like a random woman. I don't know who she was supposed to be. She was just some lady.
Princess Peach.
Sure. And like suddenly he hears Reggie talking to him. And Reggie goes, "Bill, get your body up here," from a speaker in the bottom of the elevator. And Bill has to put his ear down to the very bottom of the elevator to listen to him. And then he goes up there, and Reggie is just a me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It is like the most surreal thing in the world. It was so weird. And then they had a direct where they proceeded to announce almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
they spent 5 minutes of the direct talking about an update to Animal Crossing Plaza for the Wii U.
Oh, great.
And less than 3 minutes talking about Mario 3D World, that game that is releasing on the 22nd.
Right. The most compelling thing to buy a Wii U ever.
Also, they are releasing 3 first-party software titles on November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing else was happening that day.
No, nothing.
They're putting out Link Between Worlds, Mario 3D World, and Mario Party 3D Island Party, please buy our game. Oh my god, we're going to go out of business. So yeah, Nintendo are just utterly idiotic. They did announce the beginning of integration between the 3DS and the Wii U.
Yay!
But it's not full integration. It's just that now you don't have 2 separate accounts with 2 separate wallets.
Oh.
they spent like 3 minutes talking about how your balances would be combined, complete with like mathematical examples. They're like, say you had $22 in your 3DS account and you had 40 in your Wii account. First of all, you're stupid because you can just buy things. Second of all, if you added them together, you'd get 62.
This equals 178 blocks or 55 coins.
So yeah, there was a lot of that. There was discussion of the upcoming Pikmin DLC that zero people will buy.
What?
Exactly. Yep. Miiverse is coming to the 3DS. They finally officially announced
it. That is the most exciting bit of that announcement to me.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Swapnote's still dead.
Yep.
After a Japanese predator sent wiener pictures or something. What was the other thing? YouTube on the 3DS for your 240p videos. Your substandard definition YouTube content.
That's right. I like it the size of a postage stamp.
But yeah, it was probably one of the worst directs I've ever seen in terms of like new content. There was just nothing.
Mm.
So yeah,
I want to watch it just for that intro bit. I feel like if it ended with Miyamoto just in a cat costume licking himself for 5 minutes, it could be the greatest Tim and Eric skit ever done.
The beginning was literally, I would not be surprised if it was written by Tim and Eric. I feel like Nintendo could just get by if they left like the games market and just went straight into surrealist comedy.
But don't you need a failing product to make it even more funny?
I guess so, yeah. Well, Shuhei Yoshida said in an interview that they need Nintendo, which was an interesting thing for him to say. He said they don't view Nintendo as a competitor, which is an easy thing to say when they are doing so badly. But yeah, I feel like the world needs Nintendo.
And Nintendo just holds up a PlayStation Move controller.
I feel like the world needs Nintendo for like a dose of like schadenfreude. Like, even if the Xbox One doesn't sell very well, at least they can be like, well, we're not the Wii U. And Mario 3D World still looks incredible.
Yes, it does. There was the Wind Waker HD bundle on sale for $2.99 at the store, and I was like, maybe I'll just buy that right now.
You should hold for Black Friday. Yeah. And then I'm sure you'll find a good deal.
It's kind of what I was thinking, you know, get it for cheaper. But yeah, that fucking Cat Mario game. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's looking more and more like a must play. And it's to me, it's even now looking like more interesting than Galaxy, which I never thought could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would change my mind on that, but it is looking so good. And they were showing a trailer, in their like 30-second trailer, where they showed 10 parts of the game that are really cool. Mm-hmm. They had a top-down shooter section.
What?
Yeah. The camera was directly over Mario, and you were the boomerang dude, and the screen was moving from like bottom up, and you had to walk up. Mm-hmm. It was so cool, and you had to use your boomerang to kill people.
Oh, awesome.
It was really cool. And there were like bullet hell patterns coming down.
Whoa.
It was really cool. So yeah, basically, that game is going to be probably the best game of the holiday. But yeah, the Wii U remains dead. And they also showed Bravely Default. You should watch the new trailer. I think you'll like that one better.
Sorry.
It,
look,
It looks like FF9. Did you like FF9?
Nope.
Fuck. Well, I'm really excited about it.
Okay.
It's
not an iPhone game.
It's not an iPhone game.
Are you
sure? It's very rare for Square to not make an iPhone game these days.
Huh.
So you have to reward them when they do it.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like crap, and it just looks like it looks framey and shitty.
It looks like the Final Fantasy Tactics artist who doesn't like to draw noses.
Yeah, but it looks like that in like a really shitty 3D engine that doesn't look good and should be on a phone.
I don't know what to tell you, but
I'll rewatch it. I'll give it another shot. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to like it.
You have a cactuar with a cross over it on your arm.
Yeah, that's right.
It means you'll never play another JRPG.
Fuck you, JRPGs.
Until one night you break down.
I have been playing I was playing Final Fantasy VII on the Vita quite a bit.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice. It's a good game.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Hey, Legend of Zelda looks freaking sweet as well.
You're back on board with that?
I am. They did the shit and amazingness trailers. They did the one that looked boring and then the one that looked amazing. They got me again.
They get you again. Nintendo hooked you.
So that's cool. But yeah, those are all coming out on the same day, so you don't get confused.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, good news for people who, you know, aren't getting an Xbox One and don't have anything else to play.
I guess so.
The year is over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's just because they want them all out before Black Friday.
Yep.
But it's just unfortunate that that's the situation they've put themselves in.
Yep.
Where they have to do them all on the same day. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yep. What else do we have? Oh, you want to talk about that Microsoft rumor about potentially a change of direction for business if they get the new CEO?
Oh, sure. We can touch on that. I mean, so basically, as you already know, Steve Ballmer is going to be leaving Microsoft soon. And they're looking for replacements. And I guess they've narrowed down to like a short list of about five candidates. And one of them is the former CEO of Nokia named Stephen Elop. And he has indicated that if he were to become CEO, he would be interested in like selling off all the unprofitable divisions of Microsoft, mm-hmm. and Xbox is among them. And there's been a lot of pressure like from outside the company, like investors and stuff, to sell off the Xbox division. And I'm wondering, like, what do you think would happen if they did that? Like, do you think Xbox can survive without Microsoft, or do you think it?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't even really care for Xbox, but I think it'd be quite a tragedy if that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I worry about that.
I agree. That'd be really weird.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's not a lot to say because really nothing has happened, but it's just crazy that so many corporate suits are considering it so seriously, especially like leading up to the launch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another sign, I think, that Microsoft is just like a company that has no direction right now, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, not too much else to say about that. I don't know. Did you have anything else that you wanted to get into?
No, I think that's good for news. Enjoy the console launch, because that's all people are going to be talking about for this week and next. New games are among us. New stuff is new and old stuff is old and it sucks. So let's only talk about new things.
Oh, one other thing. Speaking of old stuff that's old, did you see the Last of Us reveal?
No, for the DLC?
Yeah.
No.
It is going to be Ellie, and she's going to be traveling with another girl, and it's going to be a prequel.
Oh, cool.
They're both 13.
The other, I guess I forgot. The other thing that I watched, the Ground Zeroes playthrough.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fucking, I cannot wait.
Is there a new one?
Yeah, there is a new one that I think was either shown at the launch event, or it was a TGS build or something. I don't know. It's something that's new and not seen by the public, and oh my god, I cannot wait for that.
Oh, I want to see it. Yeah, that game looks freaking great. I'm really excited for the next generation now. I don't know what switch was flicked, but seeing what people are working on, like I was looking at some screens from Thief. Mm-hmm. I freaking want that game in my body.
That's the wrong horse to back, I believe.
You think so? Yep. You think it's going to be bad?
Yes.
Shit. Well, I want it to be good.
Well, speaking of conflicting projections, let's talk about our callouts from last episode as to the Metacritic scores for launch games for PlayStation 4. And we'll we'll go out on this.
Okay. So I had predicted, we can just each say our predictions, and then Jamie's disembodied ghost will say his predictions.
Or if you want to read down the person's predictions, I'll echo with reality.
Okay, so I'll start with myself. I had said for Knack, I thought that it would receive an 81 on Metacritic. What was the reality?
Reality is 60, so a 21-point difference.
A little bit off about that. For Killzone, I had said 93.
Reality is 75. So it's like
pretty bad.
28 difference.
For Resogun, I had said 89.
Reality states 82, so very close there.
That was my best showing right there. Mm-hmm. And then for contrast, I had said 76.
I think this one is actually just as good. The reality is 67.
Yeah, I knew that game was going to be hot trash.
Yeah.
It just looked like it wasn't running well in the previews, and that to me is always a good sign that the game is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Jamie had said Knack 76, and you said it was 60, right?
60, yep.
Okay, so that's not too bad.
16 points.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Killzone, he'd given an 83.
Reality is 75, so, you know, about 7 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Points, yeah. Resogun, 87.
82, so very
so
good.
So far, Jamie's winning pretty bad. But then he made a few missteps at the end here. Contrast, 80. Mm-hmm. And that was, what, a 67?
67, so yeah. So
it's a 23-point swing. Mm-hmm. That's as bad as me and Killzone, right?
Yes, and the other one too, right?
Knack, yeah. I think I was the worst on Knack, yeah. And then Need for Speed, which I didn't weigh in on, but he said it'd get a 63.
Yeah.
And that actually was, what, like an 84, I think?
Yeah, actually the best of all games. Well, I should say the best of the ones we commented on. Yeah, 84.
Yeah, and it's so weird because I don't think it was on anyone's radar. But I actually, through the power of streaming, it's like really, people have really like become aware of it and are really interested in it now. So that's really cool.
It's kind of weird that Knack has a lower score than Contrast. Isn't that kind of strange?
I'll tell you when I play Knack. I'm kind of dreading it.
Yeah.
I actually offered it to Jessica. I was like, Jessica, you should play the PS4. Why don't you play Knack? I'll let you play it before me.
As if it's some sweet deal you're offering her.
Yep. Uh-huh. Okay. So, let's go back to yours, Griffin. Okay. Okay. Yes. Let's go to yours. Yeah. You had given Knack an 83.
Yeah, I think that's my worst. I took a bath on that one at 23 points.
Yep. Killzone, you gave a 76. You Which goddamn wizard.
I was one point off, 75 in reality, man.
Resogun, you gave a 91.
Okay, and in reality an 82, so
yep.
9, not great.
Not bad. Need for Speed, you gave an 87.
Again, I claimed an 84 on this as the highest of yep. my predictions, and that holds true.
Not bad, not bad. And then here's where you goofed. Contrast, you gave an 8.2.
My worst showing, making that, yeah. What is that? A 25-point difference.
I think Contrast pretty much just cost you the lead.
I think so, yeah. We'll do some real mathematical totaling here later, but
for sure.
Resogun, I think I was off as well.
Yeah, I feel like whoever wins, we should have to like somebody has to do something for someone else. Whoever wins, because we still have the Xbox scores to get, so we'll have to see how that goes.
We'll see where that goes. I think that is going to be that's so ugly.
It's up for grabs. It's going to be a very interesting. I feel like a couple of those games could go either way. Rise, you're screwed on Rise.
I'm screwed across the board because all of my scores are in the 80s, and you guys have like coverage from 50 to 90.
The thing is, I feel like we were all a little too bullish when the reality is reviewers were a lot more pessimistic. I think reviewers were expecting like, okay, next gen, like I'm ready to have my socks blown off. And then they're like, oh, these are just games.
Yep.
And we didn't factor that into our predictions. But
yeah.
We shall see.
We shall see. Look forward to next week when we talk about those scores or whatever.
Yeah. We'll do something. We'll wax poetic about our Warframe experiences.
Oh my god, it's gonna be so good. We're gonna understand it. We're gonna get so many elastic tubes.
We are gonna be at the top of the Warframe ladder.
That's right.
Along with Ass Crown and
all alone.
Butt goblins.
With a Z.
Our AI buddies.
Well, we'll call it here so we can get to work on dominating that scene.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening and thanks for talking, Jeff.
Been fun.
See you later.
Bye.